As impossible as it all seemed, Mary heard the angel's announcement and believed it. Oh, she did ask, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" But hearing the angel's assurance that nothing is impossible with God, this teenager's trusting response was merely, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary's heart was open to all that God had for her. But did she know? Could she really know who she was about to deliver into this world? Could she imagine what the next 33 years would mean to her people and to all of mankind? Could she imagine? Did she know?
Thank you. I don't know if you heard it or not, but it's raining. When is the last time you heard rain on the roof at Christmas time? Can't remember myself. Just want to ask you, did everyone get a candle when you came in? Anyone here who does not have a candle, just raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. Good. Looks like everybody's taken care of. We'll talk about that a little bit later on how you light them. And we don't want to get wax on your nice clothes or on the floor. And so what you do, if there one is lit, you come in from the side and light yours. And the next person would do the same. They would come in from the side and you just kind of pass it on down the row type of thing. When that time comes, that's after the sermon, which will be a long time from now. I want to thank everyone who brought poinsettias this month in memory. A lot of them, I think, all were in memory of someone who has passed away, someone special to you. Thank you for those that have done that. And that's why I'm kind of, you probably can't see me because I'm like all the other poinsettias up here. You know, I kind of blend in with that. But the announcements are going to be very quick because there's nothing going on this week. I will be in the office, though, every day except, I'll start on Tuesday through the week at 8 o'clock in the morning to Friday. So if there's something that you do need, I'll be here till noon type of a thing. Listen to that. Somebody's been praying that we need moisture, and their prayers have been answered, you know. Just let you know, too, my wife and I were not going to be traveling today after the service. We were going to go up to North Dakota, but my mom called yesterday and said, it looks like it's going to be tough traveling. Stay where you are, otherwise I'm going to worry about you. And I said, Mom, I'm a senior citizen. I'm wiser now than I was when I was a kid. And so she kind of laughed, and she goes, yeah, that's right. I said, so don't worry. We're not going to take any chances like we did as we were younger, that's for sure. But I would like to just have a word of prayer with everyone as we begin our time together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us through the choir this morning about Jesus. He's the real reason why we come together and want to be together during this season of realizing that you did something very, very miraculous, something that no human being would ever think of doing. So we thank you that you went above and beyond to leave heaven and to come and to be born like we came into the world and become one of us, knowing that many would not even trust in you or believe in you, that a Savior has come. And it was pronounced by the angels to the shepherds. It was pronounced to Mary from Gabriel, who came to her and she said, be unto me what the will of the Lord is. And we thank you for her willingness to just say, Lord, whatever you have in mind, I am going to be that person. And Lord, that was not an easy thing for a young girl to accept. And we know that she went probably through a lot of difficulties with people, even family. And so did Joseph through this time. Lord, there may be some here today too that are going through some difficult times in their lives. Some who have lost loved ones this past year. And this will be the first Christmas, or maybe the second Christmas, without him or her being here to celebrate. Lord, may you be with them in a very real way today. And may they know that even though we go through difficult times on this earth, you have never left us or will never leave us, and that you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death before us, and it's you that will walk it through when that time comes with us as well. So you tell us not to fear, but may our hope always be in you. And so, Lord, thank you for bringing us together this morning where we can worship you and be reminded about Christmas, of a Savior coming into this world. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. We know him better as Jesus. And so may you bless all that takes place here today. And to be with those who are not able to be here today, wherever they are from or wherever they are at, Lord, may they know that they're thought about, they're prayed about, and that we, our hearts go out to them as well. So we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to worship. Oh, I got way ahead of myself there. I was supposed to do the call of worship. Well, forget the call of worship. It's there. You can read that. I want the kids to come up. Kids, we're going to come up on this side today. Any kids here? Come on up here. I'll make room for you. If there's no room here, there's a pew behind. Come on up, Bryn, sure. Oh, look at this. Is this Luke? No, Cooper. Not Cooper. Is the other one Luke?
Jack.
Oh, it's Jack. All right. There's some back here you can fill in as well. Because sometimes it's better not to be right up front because a pastor will pick on you. Right? All right. You know, we've kind of gone, I just want to check out your memory here. Now, you that are new here, you don't worry about it because you don't know the answer, but maybe you do. We've kind of had a theme going on with our children's sermons, and I just can't think of more than what Ron Brian talked about. He gave all of you kind of a flashlight, didn't he? So our theme for it has been what? The light, yeah. So what do you think is underneath this blanket here? A rocket ship? That could be a good guess there, Logan. Tristan, you know what it is? You peeked, didn't you? You peeked before church started.
No, I didn't.
An airplane. Okay, you didn't. Okay, I see you looking at your mom like, should I say something, Mom? And she's going like, Tristan, did you peek? Okay, what is it?
Lighthouse?
You peeked.
Well, it starts with
Y. That's what it is. It's a lighthouse. So he guessed it. It was just, you're good job. Good job. Are you preaching today too?
No.
You can if you want. All right, I want you to think about a lighthouse. Of course, this does not have a light on it, does it? Usually they do have a light, and you find these where? Where do you find lighthouses?
Near borders.
Like Iowa and Minnesota? Those are called wind turbines. Okay. No? But you're right, sometimes you find them along like the Great Lakes, along the coastline, you'll see lighthouses there, and at night they'll have a light that kind of goes around and around, but what's it for? Why do they build these things, Logan?
To guide ships.
For ships, because what happens if ships don't have a lighthouse to go by? That's right, they have a shipwreck. And so the lighthouse is there to give warning, to be careful where they're at, and sometimes the captain of the ship realizes that, okay, I see the lighthouse, I know where I need to be with my ship, so I don't want to crash it into the rocks or anything like that. So the lighthouse serves a purpose, doesn't it? Oh, do you feel left out? Do you feel left out? Okay, I don't want you to feel left out. So a lighthouse has a purpose. I want you to think about the Christmas story now. Where do you see light in the Christmas story? Logan? Christmas lights? I mean in the Bible. In the Bible. In the Bible. Where do you find light? Tristan. I don't know how to answer that one. That's not what I was expecting. But it could be Jesus. Okay, we'll go with that. Where else do you see light? Where do you see light? The stars, yep, because it was at night. We see the stars. Where else do you see light? Light's important. The what? What did he say? Was there a candle in the Christmas story in the Bible? There could have been. Maybe in the manger, maybe in the stall, the stable. Could be. You could be right. I'm thinking of the glory of the angels when they came to talk to the shepherds. The glory of the Lord came with them, and I see the glory as being light. How else can you explain the gloriness of God and the gloriness of angels if you don't have light? But around here at Christmas time, where do we see lights? Actually, we see it right here in the sanctuary. Tristan. Those ones there? Oh, these up here? Oh, these are from China. So, this is the big balloons of China that came over America. So, all right. I remember that because Chuck Teelber said that. All right, there are other lights. You see that on the Christmas tree? We got Christmas tree lights. How about the houses outside at nighttime? Do you see Christmas lights on the house? So there's lights all over the place. Lights is a good thing. Iris. Oh, you just lost it, huh? Yeah. But we see lights all the time. That's very important at Christmas time that there's lights. I can't help but to think of the poor people who are captive over in Gaza, who are in tunnels, who have probably not seen light for many, many days. But yet God can do amazing things, even if they're in a tunnel with no lights, that they think there's no lights, he can be a light to them, even in places like that. Are you okay? You want to come here? Want to come here? Okay, yeah. Okay. There. We just don't like cranky kids, do we? Okay, where am I going with this? The baby Jesus, as he grew up, he said that he would be what? The baby Jesus, when he grew up to be a man, he said that he was the light of the world. And no one would walk in darkness. No one would walk in darkness if they follow him. So I just want to ask you, are you following Jesus?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Good. That's because that's very important. Because if you follow Jesus, then you know you have something in common with the lighthouse. He gives us light so that we know what sin is, and we don't want to go the direction of sin, do we? We want to go in the direction of light that will take us to heaven and to be with Jesus forever. So I just want to thank you for your attention and for your answers. And you can go back and sit with mom and dad or grandpa and grandma or by yourself.
Sounds like fun.
Okay. Thanks for coming up, boys and girls.
Would you please stand as we sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain. Oh, we love. in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains for long? But the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Seated. Thank you, Bob.
You're back. You're welcome.
We're going to hear the scripture, what is known as the Christmas story. You've heard it many, many times, but remember, there are kids here today. It's good to have kids here, isn't it? It really is great. And remember, they have not heard the Christmas story maybe as much as many of you have. So here we go. It comes from the book of Hezekiah, chapter 2, right? No. Just checking to see if you're awake. It comes from Luke, the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus, who's Caesar Augustus? Talking about who? Where's he from? Yeah, he's from Rome. He's kind of, Caesar kind of is referred to as like a god in Rome. He would be their god. So Caesar, all the way from Rome, Italy, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, the governor of Syria, Syria is which direction from Israel? North, correct. And everyone went to his own town to register. So this is very important to have this census at this time. This is what made Joseph and Mary have to go to Joseph's hometown, which is Bethlehem, about 70 miles. And they walked. And maybe she rode on a donkey, who knows? That's a long ways. It takes more than one day to do that. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in the Galilee of Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. She's expecting a child? That means she's really big, belly, and are going to be traveling 70 miles before she has this baby. It's incredible. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. How many of you remember that day when you had a baby? And it was joyful for the guy, for a while probably, not so much for the lady. But Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in
the inn.
Yeah. Kind of a sad deal here. You'd think somebody would give up their room or to say, like, hey, you can have my place. I can see you are uncomfortable and that you're expecting a child. Here, why don't you just stay in my room or we'll go somewhere else. But that was not the case. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory, which means there was light, shone around them, and they were terrified. See how the shepherds were kind of scaredy cats? You know, they were afraid. Rather than looking at something great has taken place, they're terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, even Hamas, even Muslims, even people who don't believe at all, atheists, agnostics. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, holding a candle." No, he doesn't hold a candle, but there could be some light in that stable. "And he's lying in the manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another," let's go, let's go, let's go. You want to go? Let's go. Let's go where? Let's go to Bethlehem. See if what we've just heard is true. And so they went to Bethlehem and see if they'd find this baby in a manger that the Lord has told them about. So they hurried off, and sure enough, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Do you think they went right away to the stable? Or did they look around town before they found baby Jesus in the stable? Maybe that was their last place to look. I don't know. It's kind of like us, though, isn't it? The last thing we ever do is what? When all else fails, we pray. You know? But they found Joseph and Mary and the baby who was lying in the manger. What do you think it smelled like? Think of the hospital rooms where babies are born today compared to what it would have been here. When they saw Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So the shepherds left. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amazing. That's the Christmas story. Not everyone believes this. I'm glad you're here, that you do believe. Or if you don't believe and you're here, before you leave today, I hope you believe and trust in what God's word says. So I believe, I go from that story to the sermon, and do not worry, it will not be that long. But I do invite you to stand as we hear what the prophet Isaiah said around 700 years before the birth of Jesus. We find it in chapter 7 of Isaiah, verses 10 through 14. is what we're going to just look at briefly here this morning. Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." My, my. Doesn't that sound pious? Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Lord, we thank you that we hear these words every time during Christmas, and yet we sometimes do not give it much thought. Why you gave this sign so many hundreds of years before Jesus was born. But we thank you for what you said here. Use this word in our lives here this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is a verse in Isaiah that says this. It's actually in Isaiah 9, not too far from where this one, where I just, the text I give you today, where it comes from. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." That's really what this time of the year is all about, lights. Lights give us hope, especially when you are lost or stuck in a ditch. What kind of a light do you look for when you're stuck in a ditch out in the middle of nowhere? Mercury lights. Do you know what a mercury light is? Every farmstead has a mercury light kind of shining on it. And so you would walk to the nearest mercury light because you know that someone's probably going to be living there too. It gives hope. Okay, we're stuck or we're lost. I'm thankful to see a light. How about if you're on the ocean or the sea or some big body of water, you look for what up in the sky? Not just the stars, but there's one particular star called the North Star. And they get out their little thing and they find the North Star and they kind of know where they're going, where they've traveled from, if they're heading on the right direction. It guides them. If you're lost out in the middle of nowhere, you know that moss grows where? On a tree. On the south side, the side where there's no light. Now what? Is there a problem with that? Yes. Moss covers the whole tree? I don't know. I know that was kind of debatable. If you know what you're doing when you're lost and you're hiking, you know which way the sun is. It's going to be important for you to know which way it'll be walking. And we can argue about that later. But then light came to us when Jesus was born. What Isaiah prophesied about came to be. We know it better. Just think of how many generations of people did not see this light. They could only by faith believe what Isaiah told them, what God had told Isaiah, but many of them never ever saw this. We look back by faith and believe that Jesus was born and he came for us. We see around us, even as we drive around in the evening or at nighttime, there are nativity scenes that are lit up. There are bulbs of Christmas lights on trees, on houses as well. And lights so very important. Now, if I ask you, Hanukkah, what does Hanukkah, it's a festival of what? Are you sure? It is lights. just checking you out. The festival of lights, Hanukkah, comes right around this time of the year as well for Jews. They celebrate it. So here's something very interesting in our text here today that I never knew before until doing this. You know that Ahaz could have been a Canadian. Ahaz. And he's asked by the Lord for a sign. Ask the Lord for a sign. That's Isaiah tells him that. And Isaiah responds with, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. And then Isaiah says to Ahaz, will you try the patience of men and will you try the patience of God also? God has just given Ahaz an opportunity to give a sign. What sign do you want? And Ahaz said, no, I don't want a sign. I don't want to give you a sign. Well, then the Lord says, then I will give you a sign. And we know what that sign is because we're so familiar with it. That a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. To think that he even says that she's going to have a son. You know, we only know what you're going to have if you have an ultrasound or something to tell you what you're going to have. Here God says she's going to have a son and she'll be a virgin. And we think of the virgin, we think of Mary, who had never ever had sex, had never ever had intercourse by a man. She was a virgin, became miraculously pregnant because of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand it. That's what it is. And she has Jesus. So we find that Ahaz chose darkness over light. Assyria was Ahaz's choice. He had set up an alliance with Assyria that was the superpower at that time. And he has gone to Assyria's side and has made a plan with Assyria, not with God. And the outcome is very devastating because the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And in 586 BC is when the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem. And Israel has never become a country or a state again until 1948. Think of how many years that is where you've not been a country. You have not been in power. You've always been had power from somewhere else. You were under the dictation of some other country for thousands of years. There was no light until Jesus came into the world. And he is our light. Always has been, always will be. Do you know this light? Who is a person? The person who will keep us, doesn't want us to have a shipwreck in our life. Because the light points us away from that. Or warns us of dangerous territory. Jesus is the light whom we come to put our faith in and to believe in every day. Jesus grew up and he said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Is that where you are at in your relationship with God today? You can sing about it, you can hear about it, but do you believe it in your heart? Are you living for Jesus today? Who wants to live in darkness? If you had a choice, would you want to live in darkness? I wouldn't. Do you remember what it was like when you were just a little child and your parents, or you had to shut off the light in your room? How unnerving was that? How many put the blankets up over your eyes or your head because you're afraid there might be somebody under the bed or someone else in the room? I don't want to be in darkness. I want there to be light. And Jesus is the gift that God gives to every man, woman, and child, the gift of light that comes from him. Faith brings light. Only Jesus can forgive us of our sins. And he came, or he comes to you today. Or maybe it was way back when he first became real to you. But he came for you, because he loves you and he cares about you. It doesn't matter if you have cancer, if you're going through chemo, if you've got some other kind of a disease that even doctors don't know what it is, but you know. Jesus is still the light who loves you and cares for you. It is he who we celebrate today and tomorrow in particular as we think of Christmas Day. He came for you. Just want you to kind of let that sink in a little bit. He came because he loves you. And he died for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can always rejoice and clap and jump up and down. We can celebrate in a lot of different ways. But sometimes our celebrations can be amiss. It has everything to do about us and not about you. And so, Lord, today, Lord, forgive us. If for some reason we have been like Ahaz, and we just say, I will not ask for a sign. I will not listen to what the pastor says. I will not listen to what the Bible says. I have my own way. Lord, that's the way of pride. That's the way of darkness. So, Lord, humble us. May you nudge our hearts here this morning, whereby we come to believe and trust you by faith, because you are the light that we need today and every day. It's Christmas every day of the year, not just one day out of the year. And we can demonstrate that each and every day. May that be the case at the end of this year as well as the beginning of 2024. It's Christmas. And we look to you for all that we need. Because you will listen to us and you will answer sometimes even before we ask. So we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here comes the enjoyable part of Christmas Eve. Got your candles? Get your candles out because we're going to light them here shortly. But I wouldn't ask somebody, Sharon, do you want to shut the light off there? Thank you. Oh, it's still too bright. Remember, when you light, if yours is not lit, come from the side, and then let the next person come from the side and light from you. Just pass it on down the pew.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
It's just so beautiful. Carter, come up here. Stand up here and just look out there. Isn't that pretty? It's really nice. Wow, thanks. Okay, sit down. Let's just pray the Lord's Prayer together in closing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You can blow out your candle, and then Bob, let's hear that last song.
Yes. Before we do the last song, Lisa and I have an announcement to make. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday as a worship leader. My purpose is to be continuing with adult ministries, visiting homes, and sharing the gospel. Lisa?
Friday we went to the doctor, and basically we're the type of dementia that he will have is a Lewy body, and so some of the jobs that are required, he wouldn't, he'd be kind of slipping up some more. So this is what they told us, and so God is still here, mm-hmm. And it's still Christmas. Peace be to you all. Peace and joy.
I want to say something just to follow up, if you give me. I'm going to speak on behalf of all of us, the congregation, Bob and Lisa. Thanks for being a part of Harbor of Joy, the way that you have over the years. You've been here a lot longer than me, but you've made a big impact on a lot of people along the way. Not only here at Harbor, but in other places in the community as well, and in the area. And so we knew that this day would come, we just didn't want it to come. But here we are. And we wish you God's best. We'll pray for you. We never want you to doubt that we love you and care for you. But thank you so much for being who you are, and we'll continue to just love you, and you'll be in our thoughts and prayers every day as well.
Amen.
Let's have a, give him applause, please.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it.
Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. My shepherds kept their watching for silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, their whole and holy earth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds heard their watching, Lord, soul above the earth. Bring out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Whoa. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.